Now we're shifting gears to the California housing news, and in what is being perceived as an emergency action, an executive order was issued overnight by Governor Gavin Newsom. Chris Nichols is joining me. He was also in Oakland yesterday for the reintroduction of a controversial housing bill, SB 50. So, Chris, there's a lot of news to cover here on housing.
It's been a busy few days.
Yeah, let's start with the governor's executive order. Let's get to those details.
Okay, well, homelessness, of course, has been a top priority for the governor and for Californians. And this executive order, it requires state agencies to identify government assets that can be used as emergency shelters to house those who are homeless. And some examples would be excess land along highways, travel trailers that are owned by the state, and even vacant state hospitals. And there's another important piece to this. Newsom is also announcing a new $750 million fund that would be included in his next budget to help pay for access to housing, so essentially rental assistance for people who are homeless and homeless services.
He's trying to reach out and assist as soon as possible, though, roughly 90,000. Is that the current number of homeless people in the state of California?
That's the unsheltered population, so people without essentially a roof over their head. But there are more than 130,000 homeless people in the state overall. That's more than a quarter of the nation's total. And as we know and as we've reported on it, there's just a greater urgency from state leaders, from the governor, and from the public to find answers to this problem.
You know, this is an executive order that one could say he could have issued at any point in time as governor. The fact that he's issuing it now, I think, amps up the focus on this being crisis level. And the backdrop is what happened yesterday in Oakland with the reintroduction of SB 50 and the protests that it drew. You were there. So now let's move to that news and this being an example of how a bill might get stalled or tabled and then comes back again.
Right. This is the third version of this bill, SB 15. And there is, of course, a connection, as I think we've seen, between homelessness and housing. I mean, we've seen more and more people driven into homelessness due to the affordable housing crisis in California. This bill, it would make a dramatic change. It would dramatically increase high-density housing near California's job and transit centers all across the state. It would do that by essentially taking away local zoning control and land use around those specific areas. And it's drawn quite a bit of opposition and for many reasons, and including from tenant advocates. And they were out in force yesterday in Oakland at a press conference. They oppose this because they feel this bill would actually create housing, but mostly housing for the rich and not enough affordable housing.
You're going to hear a clip from yesterday and, in fact, those opponents trying to override the speaker.
Affordable housing!
We all want affordable housing. So we have a multi-million home shortage in the state of California. We need more affordable housing.
An effort there to try to say we're all working toward the same thing, but definitely not agreement on the direction. So opponents were ready for this fight again. And just as the bill will have amendments, the fight will have some changing tactics, too.
They will. I think you'll continue to see opponents. The voice that was being drowned out a bit there was State Senator Scott Wiener, who is the author of SB 50. He's from San Francisco. And he was holding a press conference to announce the restart or the relaunch of this bill. But quite a few opponents showed up and made their voices heard, as we could hear, and said that they don't feel this bill goes far enough in creating affordable housing. Again, I think everybody agrees it would help, you know, if you're going to allow for higher density and allow California to grow up instead of just out, that's going to create housing. But the bill does not require, I believe the number is up to 25% would be required to be affordable. The opponents say that's just simply not enough.
So we're going to hear some sound right now from Kimberly King, and this is a professor of psychology at Laney College in Oakland, and it's a bit more, I guess, Chris, of the depth of the protest, correct?
Right, and it's she explains the reason she's there to oppose the bill. She is involved in social justice causes at her college, and she is supporting a larger group called Moms for Housing.
We're really organized to get more housing for the people that can't afford market rate housing. The reason we're opposed to SB 50 is that it's emphasizing more market rate housing, and it's perpetuating a lie that just building more housing is the solution to the housing crisis in Oakland and the Bay Area. It's not just more housing, it has to be affordable housing.
Interesting balance here between the emergency response needed to get unsheltered and homeless people into someplace somewhere, but as she's saying, the request and in fact demand for going about it wisely in a way that doesn't create ripple impacts down the road.
Right, and there's a real frustration, at least from folks like Kimberly King and others who were there to demonstrate. But that's not the only group that's opposed to the bill. There are also suburban communities that feel, you know, their single-family neighborhoods will be dramatically changed and transformed if much denser, taller residential projects are allowed to come in. They like the way their neighborhoods are set up. They don't want it to change. So you have some progressive tenant advocate groups combining with these more suburban, sometimes affluent communities, and they're both joining forces in this shared concern over the bill. I know we also have some sound from Senator Wiener, who is speaking. He spoke with reporters after this press conference. Demonstrators continued to make their voices heard, as you'll hear, and he tried to defend the bill and why he's going forward with it.
This will create more of every kind of housing, because we need more subsidized housing for low-income people, but we need more market-rate housing to try to bring down the prices for the middle class. So we need more housing for everyone, and this bill will help with that.
The bill's going through an amendment process, and he has made changes to it. Can you explain some of that and define where those amendments will be?
There have been some major changes, and I think the most prominent is a two-year delay. He is proposing that during this two-year time frame, cities would be allowed to come up with their own plans for how to increase density, increase housing density around these rail stops and job centers, and that as long as those plans fit with the goals of his bill, that they would essentially be fine and they could move forward with those plans. But the bill also faces a pretty tight timeline. It has to get out of the state Senate by January 31st, or it would be finished for the year. So I think we're going to have a lot of news in the next few weeks about the bill and no shortage of opposition to it.
Meanwhile, back to that executive order that happened overnight, the governor is asking state officials to jump on board and identify properties where local governments or agencies can do some short-term work, some emergency basis work. I guess it's so early to know what that would mean in the Sacramento Central Valley area of California, but it does emphasize the two parallel tracks that are going here.
Right. I think the thing that is common is the urgency. I think that this lawmaker that we heard from, Senator Wiener, feels that this really needs to happen. And the governor also sees, when it comes to homelessness, you know, through this executive order, finding state property, finding these trailers, even vacant state hospitals. I think he sees that this problem has to be addressed right now.
Chris, we do have a moment to note also that there are some new housing laws on the books and in effect in California, two of them in particular that you've been reporting on. So can you give a mention to those as well?
Sure. We produced a couple of stories about the handful of bills that were passed that allow all Californians to essentially build granny flats or accessory dwelling units on their property. And the bills make it easier and make it a little bit cheaper for Californians to go and build those. This is, you know, when I talk to supporters, they say this is by no means a big giant solution to the housing shortage, but it's one way, sort of one piece to the puzzle. If you can build these smaller units, perhaps allow a family member or rent it out to someone who is in need of housing, it'll be easier. The other was essentially a story about an anti-discrimination bill related to what was formerly the Section 8 housing voucher program. Mm-hmm. Landlords, if you ever go on Craigslist and you're looking for an apartment, you'll see no Section 8.
Right.
That is going to be illegal under this now law that's in effect. Landlords will not be able to use the fact that someone is a Section 8 or formerly Section 8 voucher holder as a sole reason to reject them when they're looking for an apartment.
All right. Well, that's a lot to cover in housing today, but all of these stories are at capradio.org. You can find more of Chris's work on the new laws, also SB 50, and more details about the governor's executive order. So I think that's it for now.
Thanks, Beth.
Thanks a lot, Chris. Chris Nichols at, again, reporting at capradio.org. And you are listening to Insight on your NPR station, Cap Radio.